KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting an evening with Chef Yotam Ottolenghi in conversation with San Diego chef Claudette Zapaita, talking about his new book, Comfort, on October 9th at Balboa Theater. For tickets and more information, visit artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Thursday, October 3rd. The city of San Diego is expanding its two campgrounds for people experiencing homelessness. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. We hit record high temperatures in some parts of the county this week, and the heat continues. In the desert areas, temps reached 112 degrees, which was the highest they've been since 1991. And in the mountains, it was 93 degrees, the hottest since 2020. Excessive heat warnings and advisories have been extended until 8 p.m. Monday in most parts of the county. In the inland and mountain areas today, temps will be in the low 90s, and in the deserts, it's expected to reach 109 degrees. The only area without an advisory is the coastal areas, where it's expected to be in the high 70s. The California School Boards Association has filed a lawsuit against Governor Newsom over school funding. The suit claims Newsom's funding plan for schools violates the state's constitution and could endanger school funding in the future. The state has already passed its budget, and the lawsuit won't affect the money already set aside for schools. But the association hopes a judge will strike down what they described as Newsom's funding maneuver. Newsom made up a nearly $9 billion shortfall in the Proposition 98 school funding guarantee by borrowing from the state's general fund. Newsom's office said the accounting move was not only legal, but saved schools from potential budget cuts. DoorDash has made 45,000 deliveries in the county paid for with food stamps. They began accepting them as payment for groceries last June. A lot of those deliveries are going to areas with more seniors and people with disabilities. Cheryl Young leads DoorDash's policy research. She says it's hard for many food stamp users to get to the grocery store, and online shopping makes it easier to stretch their benefits.
As they're building their cart, they can see how much they have left. They can see every single item that's stamp eligible and just click on it and add it to their cart instead of running around a grocery store.
DoorDash is working to expand deliveries in rural areas where transportation can be even harder. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
San Diego is expanding its two makeshift campgrounds for people experiencing homelessness. Metro reporter Angie Bowen says it comes as the number of indoor shelter beds is shrinking.
The campgrounds are located on two vacant lots in the back corners of Balboa Park. They currently have space for about 540 tents. Over the next few months, that number will grow to about 770. The city council on Tuesday agreed to extend contracts with two nonprofits that operate the campgrounds. Council President Sean Ila Rivera admits they're not ideal.
I think we could also recognize that for the folks who've opted into this program, it is better than the alternative that they were experiencing before. I don't like that's the best option in front of us, but it is the best option in front of us.
Later this year, two downtown homeless shelters with more than 600 beds will close. The city is scrambling to find alternatives. For the time being, those alternatives will be outside. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Here in San Diego, life-saving medicines like naloxone have helped reduce the number of fentanyl overdoses. But Mexico's restrictive drug policies make naloxone almost impossible to get in Tijuana. Border reporter Gustavo Solis says Good Samaritans are essentially smuggling this medicine into Mexico.
¿Quieres llevarle aluminio?
Carmina Ruiz runs the needle exchange program at Tijuana's Preven Casa. This is the city's only needle exchange and safe use clinic. Regulars here toss their used needles in a little red box, while Ruiz gives them clean ones, all to prevent the spread of diseases like HIV and hepatitis.
Listo. Bye, Oscar, cuídate.
In the back of the clinic, women use drugs in a safe environment. They sit on a couch, listen to music, and even create art, all under the supervision of staff trained to prevent overdoses. But there's something missing. The medicine used to prevent overdoses is almost impossible to get in Tijuana. Naloxone is an overdose reversal drug that has been a lifesaver for fentanyl users across the globe.
I think everybody on the planet should be carrying it now because this is a major problem in many countries.
That is Gretchen Burns Bergman, founder of A New Path. The San Diego-based nonprofit has helped make naloxone more available throughout the county. Known by its brand name Narcan, the treatment is available in local schools and even vending machines throughout the region. She says that these achievements have not come without pushback. Some feel that providing medicines like this encourage illegal drug use.
If we think stigma's bad here, it's even worse in Mexico.
Former Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has spent years downplaying Mexico's role in the fentanyl crisis, saying that his country does not produce or consume the synthetic opioid. He's also blocked efforts to make naloxone more accessible in Mexico.
The Mexican president said that naloxone prolongs the agony of people who use drugs. Basically, he's saying, like, well, they're beyond saving, they should die.
Jaime Arredondo is a drug abuse expert who has spent years visiting drug treatment centers throughout the border. He says López Obrador cut federal funding to nonprofits like Preven Casa in 2018.
So ever since 2018, we had to cross all the supplies, either syringes, pipes, naloxone, foil, everything that we use for harm reduction, we had to bring it either from the United States or from Canada.
That's right. People are smuggling naloxone from the U.S., into Mexico, and sometimes at great personal risk.
I have myself been found once crossing with 300 vials of naloxone, and they wanted me to pay $8,000. Well, I didn't have the money, or they will gotta impound my car.
Arellano says members of the National Guard and the Mexican military have been known to confiscate naloxone. The shortage has gotten so bad that local paramedics and police officers are asking Preven Casa to supply them with the medicine.
I have heard them from them, like, oh, how do you, what is the medication to treat them? And can I have some so I can treat more persons like you did today?
Dr. Alejandro Gonzalez has even trained first responders in how to administer naloxone.
They don't have access to naloxone. They have seen a lot of overdose and they can only offer oxygen and that's it. And it's a good way to treat it, oxygen, but it's not enough, you know.
Arrendono says more binational collaboration is needed.
This is like a North American problem, right? It's not just Mexico, it's just not the United States. It's Canada, US, and Mexico, and we need to find common solutions for the three countries for a common problem.
He points to people like Maria Herendira as a sign of hope. She used heroin and later fentanyl for more than 25 years before getting sober at the clinic.
Perdí muchos años de mi vida, 25 años usando heroína.
Herendira says she felt safe using drugs in the clinic with people ready to help in case she ever passed out, which she says she did a few times.
Pues aquí había alguien que me cuidara, pero de todas maneras dos tres veces sí me les pasé.
Now that she's sober, Herendira still comes to the clinic, sometimes just to hang out, but mostly to volunteer. She likes to clean the same room where she once got high. She thinks of it as a good way to give back to the people who have helped her so much. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The fall film festival season is in full swing with the Filipino and Italian festivals overlapping this weekend. Film critic Beth Accomando previews the San Diego Italian Film Festival that kicks off in Balboa Park tonight.
Each year, the San Diego Italian Film Festival picks a theme to drive its programming. This year, artistic director Antonio Iannotta says the theme is core.
Because it's gonna talk about our core values like identity, but also core issues in Italy today, like, you know, immigration.
It's also a nice play on words because in Italian, core means heart. And one of the issues close to the festival's heart is diversity.
Italy has been a diverse, multi-ethnic and multiracial country for many years. And still we have this fantasy of a country totally white, totally Catholic, but it's not like that anymore.
Io Capitano highlights racial diversity with its story of African immigrants, while the documentary Krypton focuses on young people coping with personality disorders.
They open their heart, they talk freely on how they feel, how they think, and we get to see what these young kids have to face on a daily basis about their problems.
The San Diego Italian Film Festival runs through this weekend and next. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
La Mesa Oktoberfest kicks off tomorrow and runs through the weekend. The festival is celebrating its 51st year. Laura McFarland is the event manager for La Mesa Oktoberfest. She says the event holds a special place in the community.
As people have grown up, they've gone to this event. As people have had kids now, they've brought their kids. So I think it's like those, you know, Christmas holiday events, I think, in the Midwest that people always like love to go, or, you know, those holiday special moments. It's kind of like that, I think, for this community, as well as now it's grown through all of San Diego, but it's just a really great event that people get back together with their friends and family. So I think that's probably the biggest part of it, is such a community event, and it feels really community. That makes it so special, and that's kept that specialness through all the years.
The Mesa Oktoberfest is a free, family-friendly festival with options to purchase VIP and beer garden passes. This year's event features three beer gardens with music and games, food and shopping, arts and crafts, miniature golf, a Ferris wheel, a pumpkin patch, and more. McFarland says the dachshund races have become very popular over the past few years, so organizers are dedicating an entire block to pets this year.
We have yodeling for dogs. We also have fashion shows. We have the dachshund races. And then we also are doing some dachshund planking, where people get into a plank and we have a dachshund on their back, a stuffed animal, and whoever can last the longest wins a giant dachshund.
The fest runs from 4 to 10 p.m. tomorrow night. 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, and on the final day, Sunday, it starts at noon and ends at 8 p.m. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Thursday.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ladan Akbarnia, curator of South Asian and Islamic art at the San Diego Museum of Art, where we are showcasing a new exhibition exploring Islamic art, science, and culture through the lens of wonder. Wonders of Creation, Art, Science, and Innovation in the Islamic World presents more than 200 works spanning 13 centuries across two galleries, inviting visitors to discover marvels of the universe through intersections of art and science and humanities, customs, and crafts. See medieval tools and treasures, ornate jewelry, lavishly illustrated manuscripts, and large-scale works of contemporary art. Get tickets at sdmart.org.